So as we've been walking through the minor prophets, we've seen the Lord now rebuking his children for their disobedience, warning them about the coming chastisement, and sending prophet after prophet to say the chastisement is coming, the captivity is coming. And here in Micah, it's been the same here in these first two chapters. Here in the third chapter, though, beginning in verse 8, Micah, because we looked at the first seven verses last week, but Micah now is acknowledging where his power comes from and thereby where our power comes from. It's a very important passage here in Micah 3, beginning in verse 8. He says, "But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest." So power by the Spirit is our title. Lord, I pray you'd use your word now in our hearts and lives to teach us, to grow us. We thank you for the privilege of assembling and on a Sunday night and just hearing again from your word and allowing the Holy Spirit to change us through its power. And I pray, Lord, that we'll open our hearts to hear and Jesus would be magnified and you'll give us a sweet time around the Lord's table later on. We love you and commit it all to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So what Micah is revealing for himself as a prophet of the Lord and for us is that we do not possess the power on our own to serve the Lord, to do anything for God. We're full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And as we are saved a while, sometimes it's easy to forget that. But our power comes from God. Our power to serve, our power to witness, our power to do anything for God comes from God. Go to 1 Corinthians 2, if you would. And I just want to quickly show you the first five verses of 1 Corinthians 2. But our power, and we must remember this, comes from the Lord. It is received when we get saved. It's not something that we can earn, just like our salvation. It's not something that we can drum up from within ourselves. It is something that's given to us. This is important for us to understand. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, my power came from God. I wasn't there to impress you with my speaking ability. He says, my physical presence wasn't the greatest. Paul had infirmities of the flesh. He says, it was all about the power of God. And he says, and my ultimate desire, verse 5, is that your faith shouldn't stand in man's wisdom, but in God's power. So it's about God's power. And that's true for you and for me. Go to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 4. And God explains that we, you've heard me say this before, we're just a bunch of dirt. And we are. You read Genesis 1, when God made man, he made us from dust, didn't he? But notice 2 Corinthians 4, "But we have this treasure," that's the treasure of salvation, "in earthen vessels." So there it is. We are an earthen vessel. We're a vessel made out of dirt. It says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're just a vessel made of dirt. Therefore, we don't possess any power of our own, that the power may be of God and not of us. Now, there came a time, if you go to 2 Corinthians 12 now, where the Apostle Paul had to learn his own lesson. Remember, Paul was a very gifted man. He knew multiple languages. He was very well versed in the Old Testament, even prior to his salvation. He was obviously a great church planter, but God gave him a thorn. And Paul even writes about the reason for the thorn. Notice, he says, verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure." So Paul even admits, lest pride would be allowed to kick in, and I would be exalted about my own accomplishments, my own abilities, and so forth. He says that there was given to me a thorn. Look at the end of the verse. "Lest I should be exalted above measure." He says it twice in the same verse. So after the fact, Paul understood the purpose of the thorn. Remember, in verse 80, he besought the Lord three times to take it away. But notice what he says in verse 9. This is God speaking. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," this is Paul now, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The power of Christ. Our power comes from God. Go to Luke 24 now, where Jesus Christ, just prior to the ascension, he's already resurrected here in Luke 24. And he explains to the disciples that they are to assemble at Jerusalem and they're to wait for something. Now, they aren't sure what they're waiting for. They just know they're supposed to wait. And here in Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus is just about to ascend back to heaven, and he says to them, "I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until" what? "You be endued with power from on high." I want you to wait until you have my power. And then, of course, we read in Acts chapter 1, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." So our power comes from God. And that's what Micah says. "Truly I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." We can say the same thing. "Truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, the primary purpose of that power is to be a witness. Acts 1:8 again. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." After that, ye shall receive power. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he endues us with the power from on high. These prophets of the Old Testament were endued with power from on high. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God." Where did they get the power? Where did they get the ability to prophesy, to actually speak the words of our Creator? From our Creator, from the Spirit of the Lord. So that's where our power comes from. And the Holy Spirit is here to get the gospel to the lost through us. We're just the vessels. He's the power. He's the source of the power. Now back to our passage here in Micah 3:8. So he says the power comes from the Spirit of the Lord, but then he says, "and of judgment and of might." And so the Holy Spirit is here to give us power, but power to do what? Power to convict the lost of their sin. If you're here, go to John 16, but if you're here this evening and you are born again, you did not get born again without the intercession of the Spirit of God convicting your heart and convincing you that you needed Jesus. The Spirit of God did that work. And he did it through the gospel, but somebody was sharing that gospel with you, either verbally or through a tract or in a sermon or whatever. But it was the Holy Spirit that was taking the power of that gospel and reaching out and convicting you of your need for Jesus Christ. And that's here in John 16, down to verse 8. And when he is come, that's talking about the Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. But who's going to do all this? The Holy Spirit is going to reprove the world. And that's exactly what he does. He reproves the world. And that's what Micah meant when he said, and of judgment. And so the power comes from the Spirit of God, but so does the judgment, the conviction. When we got saved, we were convicted. We were convinced by the Holy Spirit we need rescue from our sin, from the consequences of our sin, which is to go to hell. It was the Holy Spirit that reached in and told us that, and we heard it, and we responded, and we got saved. Praise God. But it was the Spirit that was involved in that process. So of judgment, but then also he says, and of might. And of might. Now the Holy Spirit empowers us primarily to witness, but that's not the only reason he empowers us. He also empowers us so that we might serve God in other areas. And that's Galatians 5. Let's turn there. Primarily so that we will have victory over sin. Is it possible to have victory over sin? Yes. Not because of our might or our strength, but because the Holy Spirit indwells us and makes it possible for us to live through Him a victorious life. Notice Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so when we make claim to promises like I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, that's only possible through the Spirit of God, that we can do all things through Christ. So the Spirit of God came to empower us that we might witness, that we might live for Jesus, that we might win the battle over the flesh, but also to bring judgment to this world through the gospel, which of course, flows through his servants, us. All of this is through the Spirit of God. This power to, as he says back here in Micah 3:8, to declare. Where do we get the power to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ? We get it through the Holy Spirit. So God empowered us the day we were born again. We were endued with power from on high so that we might declare the gospel, so that we might serve the Lord, that's the might part, and so that we could, so the Holy Spirit through us could convict the world of sin, of their need for a Savior. You've heard this said before, but a person can't get saved until they're lost, right? Why would somebody get saved unless they realize they need to be saved? You got to be saved from something. And so you got to get them lost first. You got to explain to them that we're sinners and that God hates sin and God's going to judge sin, and ultimately we will perish in hell if we don't get saved or rescued by the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces them of that through us. So back to our passage here in Micah 3. Micah's made it very clear that we are empowered. Our power is by the Spirit of God that we are given the power to declare the gospel. We are given the power to serve the Lord as we walk in the Spirit, as we yield to the Spirit, as we're filled with the Spirit. And we are given the power to share the gospel so that the world is convicted and convinced of their sinfulness. Back to our passage, verse 11. He says, the heads thereof judge for reward, the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Israel here was in a terrible state, weren't they? You've got the judges judging for money rather than for what was right and wrong. You got the priests teaching for money rather than to get people the word of God. You got the prophets divining for money. It's all about gain rather than pleasing and serving the Lord. But here we are 3,000 years later and the world's still in a terrible state, isn't it? And yet there are so many. If you go to 2 Timothy 3:5, here we are in the world and the state that it's in here in these last days. And a lot of people claim to have this power that comes only from God's Spirit, and they don't have the power. And there are Christians literally all over the world who believe that the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit of God is speaking in tongues. That's good for them if they can speak in tongues, but that wasn't the main purpose of the power, as we've seen, so that people could show off their tongues. It was so that people could get saved. Even the tongues on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't an end of itself so that everybody could say, look at me, I can speak in tongues. No, it was so all that these Jews who couldn't speak Hebrew anymore could hear the gospel and get saved. That's always been the purpose of the gifts. But there are so many now who talk about all this power they have to prophesy and to work miracles and to speak in tongues. The purpose of the power we've already seen is not so that man can get glory. It's so that Jesus Christ is magnified, but it's so that people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're actually going to talk about that Wednesday night when we finish up John chapter 15, when he talks about the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, he shall testify of me. He shall not speak of himself. This is the Holy Spirit. He's the silent one of the Trinity. He doesn't glorify himself. He doesn't lift up himself. We're not to promote him. We're to only glorify Jesus. And as he says, he will test, the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus, which is what he does. And so anything that brings glory on the Spirit of God isn't from God. That's not what he does. But notice 2 Timothy 3:5, again, characteristics of the last days. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Where do we get the power to live a godly life? It only comes from the Holy Spirit of God. We can't live a godly life without the Holy Spirit of God. That's where we get the power to do it. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That all comes from the Holy Spirit. So we can't live godly without him. But then now, he said in these last days, all these people would have a form of godliness, but they wouldn't acknowledge that that came from the Spirit, denying the power thereof. And then verse 11 of our passage, yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. What's he saying? That they need to be warned. Israel needed to be warned, which is why God kept warning them through his prophets. And people today need to be warned. They need to be warned that they need to lean upon the Lord, but they aren't naturally going to do it. They have to hear from the Spirit of God that they are sinners and that they need Jesus Christ, or they will continue to lean upon themselves and say, none evil can come upon us. Say, just do what you want to do. It's no problem. Guess what? It's not true. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. And Malachi 2:17, if you want to turn there, Israel was saying here at the end of their prophetic ministry, right before the silent period. Look what Israel was saying. It's no wonder they had 400 years of silence. Malachi 2:17, you've wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Sound familiar? Our society's done the same thing and turned it around and saying that now evil is good and good is evil. And he delighteth at them, or, look at this last phrase, where is the God of judgment? If God's going to judge me, where is it? I've been getting away with it for years, living like the devil. And God never strikes me down with a lightning bolt. Where's the God of judgment? And you've heard people say this too, haven't you? Unsaved people say, if God really didn't want me to live like the devil, he would do something about it. He will. Just not yet. But we need Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit that can only convict. You know, when Achan took all that stuff after they took Jericho, who had to point out, first of all, that someone had sinned, and second of all, who it was? God. And what happened? They had lost their power. That's why they lost their second battle. Why? Because there was sin in the camp. The Holy Spirit was grieved. The Holy Spirit had been held back from empowering them. What about David when he sinned with Bathsheba and then having her husband killed? He didn't immediately repent, did he? No, it took God empowering a prophet named Nathan to send to David and tell him a story about a man with one little sheep and then to say, "Thou art the man." It took the Holy Spirit of God to come to him and say, "David, you were wrong. You sinned." Then he repented and got right with God. So it's always the Spirit of God that's going to speak to us about our need to get right with God, about our need to be saved. And thankfully, God has empowered us to give that message through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also, He's empowered us to serve the Lord, to walk in the Spirit of God, that we might yield the fruit of the Spirit of God and declare the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ so that people can be warned. So let's never forget, we are full of power. We're full of it. That's wonderful, isn't it? But we're full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and only by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for reminding